You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
To another episode of the Ivy Podcast. Today's guest is Heather Monahan, is a best-selling author, keynote speaker, entrepreneur, and founder of Boss in Heels. Having successfully climbed the corporate ladder for nearly 20 years, Heather is one of the few women to break the glass ceiling and claim her spot in the C-suite. Heather, thank you so much for finding time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So you are the CEO of Boss in Heels. Can you tell us a little bit more about the company and what is the biggest problem that you are solving?
Sure. So I would say that the problem that I'm solving is the lack of confidence in the world. And I'm doing that through my book, Confidence Creator, my podcast, Creating Confidence with Heather Monahan, through the keynote speeches that I give all over the country, and through my website, heathermonahan.com, that offers a number of different free downloads. I have a free ebook. And an accountability partner program where I keep up with people on a daily basis to ensure they're achieving their goals.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I've followed you, you know, on LinkedIn and YouTube. You have a lot of very interesting content out there. But prior to your current profession, you've been in the corporate world, as I understand. So that transition from corporate to an entrepreneur, obviously it's not an easy fit. And, you know, we covered that topic quite extensively on the Ivy Podcast. So there's a lot of, you know, professionals who work for big companies and then they launch their own companies. From your perspective, what has been the most challenging aspect of that transition and what have you done to prepare for that properly?
Wow, every aspect of it has been challenging. You know, I had a 20-year track record of success in corporate America, and that was my norm. That's what I was accustomed to and familiar with. So leaving, you know, that environment, which I really felt was this well-lit, clearly defined path that I could see, you know, the next step, the next advancement, the next opportunity, it was very well laid out for me. From early on when I entered corporate America as a sales rep, you know, right out of college. So to me, leaving that space and that familiarity that, you know, I had established a large network and I had a great name and business there, to leave that environment and start over as an entrepreneur where I was a rookie, I had no experience being an entrepreneur, I didn't have a well-defined strategy, you know, that was a massively difficult transition, and that was 2 years ago. And I'll tell you, it's still challenging now because whether it was writing my first book or giving my first TED Talk, each time I'm a rookie again. Each time I'm a beginner. Each time I'm facing fear and the unknown, and each time I'm trying to create a path that's going to accelerate me quickly and get me ahead and move me in that right direction. And I never know where I'm going because it's all new to me. So it's definitely been the hardest thing I've ever gone through from a business perspective. However, the past 2 years have been the most rewarding because for the first time in my career, I'm leading a purpose-driven life at work, which I never used to do. I went to work to produce a paycheck and take care of my bills, but I never had purpose-driven work. It was always, you know, just to make money. And now I have this amazing opportunity where I get to affect people's lives and impact them in a positive way. And I get the most amazing feedback every day. And it's just an overwhelming feeling of positivity and love and excitement. But it's nonetheless extremely scary and very challenging.
Thank you for sharing that, and I can totally relate to that what you're talking about because very similarly, I've been in a corporate America, primarily in IT myself for an extensive period of time, and now I've switched over to the private sector where, you know, I work on as an executive search consultant where I can make an impact almost, immediately on people's lives, people's careers. So I can totally relate what you're talking about. So thank you for sharing that. You do a lot of speaking engagements. You speak at different conferences, works your TEDx talk. Those are, it takes a lot to prepare for those engagements. For someone who wants to follow kind of very similar career path and succeed, let's say, as a professional speaker, what do you wish you had known before you got into this profession and why?
Wow, start earlier, start now. Don't wait. For 20 years in corporate America, I spoke and I wasn't paid for it. I didn't even know it was a business, much less I had no idea that the business was worth billions of dollars and that people were getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for a speech that I would give for free. So start now. Start valuing yourself and investing in yourself. Create a speaker reel. Get testimonials of your speeches and, take the steps to create a speaker kit and a speaker one sheet and start showcasing yourself as a speaker. There's no need to wait. That's the biggest feedback that I could give anyone. Kendra Hall is a very successful speaker, and she's much younger than me. And she went a very different path. She did not go the corporate America route to create expertise. And, she just jumped into speaking. And that's something that I applaud and wish I had done. I did not do that. I went the corporate America route, went a very different route. But my point in sharing that is anyone can start today. You're the only one that can say you can or can't do it. And if I could go back 10 years ago, that's the pivot that I would have made. I would have jumped into speaking then. And again, ignorance is bliss. I had no idea it was a business. I had no idea how much money I could get paid or make. But to do something that you're naturally good at, that you're doing for free, why not monetize that? And it takes an investment in yourself. It takes, putting together the strategy, joining different speaker bureaus, pitching yourself to different speaker bureaus, and, pitching yourself to these agents so that you can have a team of people out, working for you and booking you. And it might not happen overnight, but if you start today, I can promise you this, in a couple of years, your business will be flourishing.
And have you always enjoyed public speaking, or is that something that you had evolved into that?
Yeah, I've always, because I was a sales leader, I've always spoken for work. That was just part of my job. So it was just a natural part of my job that, I never thought twice about it. And then when I found out it was a business that you could make a lot of money at, then I enjoyed it much more. It was just always part of work, previously, and it was something that came pretty easy to me to do. So it was, I guess it's about picking your head up and looking around and saying, do you like doing this? Is this something that, you feel is calling you? And then finding the time to position yourself so that you can capitalize on that talent and really step into it.
Great, and thank you for sharing that. I work with a lot of executives, primarily in the IT, and obviously for executives, they need to be able to get up and speak in front of, large crowds sometimes, or whether that's internally in front of their organizations. But not everyone is comfortable giving, in public speaking, because it's something that I guess you have to continue practicing and get better at. What has helped you to get better at that? Was that just a matter of practicing and giving more speeches, or what helps you today when you get in front of a very huge crowd?
Well, lowering expectations on yourself is always a great way to take a stage. Instead of, focusing on 10,000 people, focus on reaching one person in that audience. When I got very nervous before giving my first TED Talk, and I said to myself right as I was about to walk out, Heather, if you don't walk out right now because you're scared, you'll never forgive yourself. If you walk out and blow it, I'm going to be so proud of you. So I just took the pressure off myself that, if I blow it, who cares? At least I had the courage to walk out there and try. And I really try to lower those expectations on me so that I'm able to put myself in a good mindset to take the stage. Another great piece of advice is if you're nervous, go to the venue ahead of time. Go a week ahead of time, 2 weeks ahead of time, so you can envision yourself on that stage. I did that for my TED Talk. I went there a few weeks ahead of time so that I could see exactly what it would look like. I could feel what it would feel like to be on that stage. I leave notes on the bottom of my shoes before I go to a big event because I'm always in a good mindset when I'm in my home, So at that point in time, I write on my shoes, you will kill this, you're going to own that stage, you know, whatever the message is. So that way, when I do get nervous before I take a stage, I can look at my heel bottom and remember, oh yeah, I can do this. I've done it before. I also use a playlist that I play every single time I'm going to give a speech. And what that does is it elicits memory for me of all these different examples of proof. I was nervous before I interviewed Sarah Blakely and I was listening to the playlist, but I took the stage and I did it. And that's proof for me today that when I go to this event tonight, I'm going to do great there too. So you start building those different instances of proof for yourself to say, I've been nervous before. I know what this feels like. I hear this song. I remember being nervous in this other situation and I survived it. I did well and I'm going to do well again. And you start creating these rituals so that you can really get yourself into a routine that really propel you forward instead of allowing yourself to be held back.
Love that advice. I got to get me some shoes that I can write on. Definitely going to give that a shot. It's like LeBron James. He puts these little notes for himself that you always see on TV.
Well, you know, that's funny that you say that. The place I got the idea for doing this, I've been doing it for the past 4 years. My son gave me the idea because Steph Curry, he had bought a pair of Steph Curry's brand shoes, and a note came in with the shoes. And he said, Mom, I don't want to carry the note with me. Why don't you write it on marker on the side of the side bottom of the shoe? So he started writing the notes for himself. And so he gave me the idea, and I've carried on with it.
That's awesome. I love that. So on that same topic, majority of the topics that you speak on or write on evolve around confidence. Why are you so passionate about this particular topic?
Well, that's really only been the past 2 years. So I was in corporate America for 20 years, and I used to speak specifically about sales and sales leadership, about innovation in the workplace, collaboration in the workplace. You know, that was really what I would speak about. But I was fired from my position. I was a chief revenue officer. And when the CEO that I had worked for 14 years became ill, he chose to elevate his daughter to replace him. And she saw me as her number one threat. So I became her number one target. And she fired me as soon as she became CEO. She said she no longer needed a chief revenue officer, and therefore she no longer needed me. So at 43 years old, I found myself unemployed, with major bills. I'm a single mother, and my son goes to private school. I have a very expensive lifestyle because of the income that I had coming from corporate America. And I definitely never saw it coming that I was going to be fired. So for me, you know, leaving there, and I've never been fired in my life. I'd only ever been promoted. I had just been named one of the most influential women in radio in 2017 when I got fired. So it was really shocking. And I came home, I had a non-compete, so I could not work in the industry that I had been successful in for 1 year. So I had to figure out in my mind, what can I do for 1 year to make money, pay my bills, and basically go to work in something I've never done before and start over at least for 1 year till the non-compete runs out. And that shook my confidence to an all-time low. I was petrified. I didn't know how I would start over as a beginner after having reached such a height in corporate America. I didn't know how I'd work for myself or who I'd work for. And it definitely sent me into a panic and a sense of not feeling good about who I was or where I was or what I was going to do. So that really took me to this place of reevaluating my confidence and reevaluating where had I been getting my confidence from and how could I rebuild it and rebuild it quickly. And that's ultimately what led me to writing my first book, Confidence Creator, and mapping out for everyone, you know, those low moments in life, how you can leverage them to create success and create confidence, and how I actually rebuilt mine during that period.
Very inspiring story. Thank you for sharing the details of that. You've mentioned your book, Confidence Creator, and for our listeners, we'll make a link and to this book available in the episode notes. Aside from your own book, you must read a lot. So I'm curious, what are the top two books that you always recommend to others and why?
Well, they change a lot because I have a podcast. I typically, you know, most of my guests have written books, so I find myself reading each one of their books before I interview them. So I usually am reading a new book each week, and it depends on, you know, what books I'm currently reading. But I'd say one standby that I really like to recommend to people is The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. That's a great book about overcoming challenges and stepping into challenges instead of running from them, which I think is really helpful when you're, you know, going against tough times or facing adversity. And then another author that I think is amazing is Flip Flippin, and he writes, you know, How to Reframe Your Story. He writes a couple of different great books about the story that you tell yourself and how you can rewrite it for yourself, which was a really powerful book that impacted me in a very positive way.
That's great. I definitely have to look into those books, and we'll make those available in episode notes as well. Whom out of the people that you know do you think would make a great guest on the Ivy podcast, and why?
I would say Alex Vidal, who has his own podcast as well. He's a really extremely successful realtor in Miami. He's an innovator and a disruptor in business. He's a fantastic guest. And Scott McGregor, who owns, he's the CEO of Something New LLC. He does a lot of charity work, helping children practice gratitude. He's written a couple of different books, and he's just a master connector. And he's just a great person for people to know.
Oh, that's great. I definitely hope we can get them on every podcast. Heather, anything that you would like to highlight in closing remarks, favorite quote perhaps, or something that we have not touched upon during our brief conversation here?
Sure. Confidence is something that can be created in any moment, and it's a choice in each one of our lives to either create confidence or chip away at it. So just becoming intentional and aware about the choices and decisions that you're making will help you start creating confidence and taking steps to improve your confidence, which really, for me, in my opinion, is the foundation of living your best life, because none of us can reach our potential or step into fear until we really start to own and rock our confidence. So I hope everyone takes this as a wake-up call that you too can go ahead and build yours and go after whatever it is you want in life.
That's great. That's a very strong closing remark. Thank you for sharing that. And Heather, I know you're very busy. You have to go and conquer the world and relay your message. And I definitely can't thank you enough for your time. I know how busy you are, and we really appreciate all of the, you know, the insights and advice that you had shared.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.